Blog Talk Radio.
We are recruiters. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. We are called to make disciples and show the world our light. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. And if our words are loud enough, they'll know us by our light. We are recruiters.
What up, what up, what up? You're tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese, brought to you by Soar Radio. Big ups to my man PDP Richardson for having a vision, putting us on, starting out with Soar Radio and bringing in The Recruit. Big shout out to him. And we're here for Season 2, Episode 1. And just like we do everything, this is the first show of the second season, and we're going to start it off right. By going to God in prayer. So everybody out there, I ask you, if you would, bow your head, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come to you, Lord, just saying thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord. We welcome you into this moment, this time, Lord, that you may be heard and not us, ourselves, God, that you may be felt, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, just do your thing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And just like that, we're back. Like I said, I'm excited. As you can see, you can hear it in my voice. I'm excited. Took a little break, a little downtime, regroup, come back better than ever. And I also want to give a big shout-out to DJ and Brianna Whiting for the intro song, the official Recruit intro song, in collaboration with Michael Craig. And so I just want to give a big shout-out to them. And I'm excited. I'm excited about the show today. We're off to a new season in so many different ways. And today I'm excited about my guest that I have on, Mr. Corey Malcolm. He has become a great friend of mine and a great counselor of mine. And I look up to him. He's an innovator in so many ways. He's a trendsetter. He's not afraid to step outside of the box, not just think outside of the box, but actually step outside of the box. And I really look up to him for that and for just his heart he has for Christ. And just a little brief history on Corey and I. I met Corey probably about 4 years ago, not formally. I didn't formally meet him until maybe a year after. But I moved up to Dallas, to Rockwall, Texas, and I started going to the church over in Garland where he was a member and he was serving and over the youth. For the youth Bible study, young adult Bible study, not youth, I'm sorry, but the young adult Bible study called Chaos. And he would get up and do his little 5 minute spiel every Sunday on stage. And what caught my eye, he always had something insightful to say, but what caught my ear, should I say, is at the end of it, he always welcomed everybody to come out to Chaos Bible study, where we always have food sometimes. And I had never heard that before, but if anybody knows me, when I hear food, my ears perk up. And so, long story short, that's how he got me and that's how he drew me in, but that was him stepping outside of the box. But with no further ado, I want to bring on my man, Mr. Corey Malcolm. What's going on, Corey?
What's going on, Mr. Reese, man? I want to thank you for inviting me to the show, man. Really excited to be here. Just a little bit about myself. Graduate of Garland High School in 2003, been going to Mount Hebron since 1999, where I served in the youth ministry there.
Okay.
I accepted my calling to preach at 18 and went off to school, Louisiana Tech University, graduated with a degree in elementary education and special education. And when I had an opportunity to come back home, went back in, started serving at the church, like you said, started serving with the young adults, Chaos Ministry, which is an acronym for Christ Has All Our Souls. Did that for 5 years. Took a position working with youth full-time at Mount Hebron, where we had a ministry which we called Alien Nation. Adolescents living to impact everyone with the news of salvation. So, man, you know, been around the world, done a lot of things, seen a lot of things, and just, you know, happy to be here tonight, man.
And, man, I'm excited to have you. We all are. And You said a lot just in that intro, man. And one thing that I want to really start with, like you said, you graduated from Garland, and I know for the people out there that you are a teacher now, still in that same city, but at South Garland High School. And
I had an opportunity to get to South Garland, which is a little bit ironic because South Garland is the rival school to Garland High School. So little animosity, some of my alumni, but, you know, it's all good. I'm enjoying it.
And that's what it is, man. And, you know, so even in you teaching, what is it that – did you always just have a heart for education or for learning, a desire for learning and educating others? How did you get into that?
I've always had a heart for people, man. Graduated from high school, like most people, didn't really know what I wanted to do. I played in a band in high school, went to college, played in a band, and so I thought, you know, let me get a degree in music. So they put me in a program where I was on the track to become a band director, and I was taking music classes and I was taking education classes. I enjoyed the education classes, but not so much the music classes. So that's how I got into education. I come from a long line of teachers. My little sister's a teacher. My oldest sister, she's a teacher down in Louisiana. My second to the oldest sister, she's a professor at the University of Arkansas. So, I mean, man, I come from a long line of teachers.
It's in your blood.
Yeah, man, I think so.
And, you know, that's amazing, man. For one, just because of your heart and your desire for education and for people, nonetheless, but also just you being a male and an educator, that's rare nowadays. And just even remember when I was in high school or just all throughout school, it was a select few teachers. And most of the teachers were coaches, and they only taught because that's the only way they could coach. And so that's another thing that I admire and I want to commend you on, just as far as being devoted to what you do and you're not being forced into it.
It's hard, man, because a lot of people, they see a male like myself and they think, you know, I want to be a coach. I have no desire to be a coach. I'm an educator and I love what I do. So, you know, a lot of time they try to push me into that profession, but I'm just like, hey, that's not for me, and I know where my lane is, and I like to stay in it.
I feel you on that, man. I feel you. And if, I think the world would be a lot better if a lot more people knew what lane to stay in. But our topic tonight is faith, breaking out of tradition. And you said in your intro that you accepted your calling to preach at the age of 18. Now, just even at any time in your life, accepting the calling to preach takes a great step of faith. But at that age, when you're 18, literally in the transition, that transitional period in your life, I know that took a great amount of faith. So could you tell us how was that really, how was that process, and how did you go about really accepting that calling at that such a young age?
You know, like everybody, or like most people, I was raised in the church, you know. I like to say I had a drug problem, like my pastor say. My mom drugged me to church, you know. I was there unwillingly sometime, but eventually, you know, I started going on my own. I met a lot of adversity in high school. My freshman year, I had a loss of my youngest uncle. My sophomore year, I lost one of my best friends to a heart murmur. You know, my senior year, I lost my oldest uncle. So high school was just, I was getting hit, and the only thing I could turn to at the time was God. And I didn't see it in myself, and I had a lot of mentors. I had a lot of people pouring into me, and people saw things in me that I didn't see. And I felt like God had a responsibility for me, and that's what it was. At 18, I'll be the first to tell you, I had no desire to preach. I knew God had a calling on my life, but I didn't know what it was. And I was afraid of it because with telling people that you accepted your calling and you think God has a calling on your life, it puts you in a place where you feel like people are going to judge you, people are going to look at you and expect you to be perfect. So throughout my college years, I became what I like to call a bootleg preacher. I would go off to college, live my life, do my thing, you know what I'm saying, live a college life. And then every once in a while, I would come back on the weekends, preach a sermon, don't let nobody know I was coming home. In the time that I was in college, all my friends, all my frat brothers, I think between my current wife, who was my girlfriend in college, and my best friend, Frank Williams, those were the only two people that knew I was a minister. So it was a heavy burden on me, and I ran for them, even though I made the acceptance of the call. I ran for so long, even after making that call. Answering that call. So it was a hard thing, especially, you know, like I said, at the age of 18, I really didn't get serious about it until my early to mid-20s.
And what was it, was there anything in particular that kind of forced your hand in getting serious about it in your mid-20s?
Man, I'm hard-headed. Anybody that know me know I'm stubborn, you know what I'm saying? I'm set in my ways, and my pastor and my assistant pastor at Mount Hebron, they've always pushed me, you know. They've always pushed me to do more. And when I got back from college, graduated, had came back home to Garland, my youth pastor, who was now the assistant to the pastor at Mount Hebron, took me to lunch, and he was like, "I got a job for you." And he told me he wanted me to be the minister of young adults at Mount Hebron. And I remember that day just like it was yesterday. I looked at him and I said, "You have lost your mind." Because I was like, how am I going to lead a group of people that range from 18 to 30? At the time, I'm 23 years old. I was like, what can I tell a 30-year-old about Christ? You know, So being put in that situation forced me, you know. I'm not going to say forced, but it put me in a situation where I was groomed and I was able to grow. So that was the first step to me starting to take it seriously about what God had for me.
And like you said, it kind of it didn't force you, but it put you in a position where you had to either step out on faith and be about what you were talking about and really walk it out, or to step back, either step up or step back. And you stepped up.
I stepped up. But even in that stepping up, I accepted it. But I think I, for lack of better terms, I'm saying that I played with God. Graduated November 2008, still wanted to live the life of a college, went back to Louisiana Tech, kick with my frat brothers. Back in January 2009, and I almost lost my life, you know. Was out going to a club with my frat brothers. One of my frat brothers got into it with one of the football players. And, you know, I ended up later that night in the hospital. You know, dude kicked me in the face, stomped me out. I was bleeding out of every orifice in my face, my nose, my eyelids, had blood coming out of my ears, had fractures in my face. And I remember, you know, as I was home recovering, I remember my godmother came to me, and she came to me, and she said, "Have you not figured it out yet? Maybe because you continue to play and God has a purpose for you, and you continue to put yourself in these situations where God doesn't want you, and maybe he spared you in this situation for you to get it right." And at that point, man, I realized that, you know, I was here for a purpose, here with a purpose, and if I didn't, you know, walk in that purpose, you know, there were terms and possibly consequences to pay.
And, man, that's a powerful testimony in itself, to be really near death. And, you know, you can hear different people's testimony or people sharing all the time saying, you know, it took God, you know, doing this, or I almost lost my life. But just hearing something, for me, hearing, that's not the first time I've heard the testimony, but for me, in hearing your testimony, it hit home with me just because of the relationship that I shared with you and the similarities that we both having the closeness in our age. And so
right.
just seeing how God really has to slow you down in order to get your attention is almost as if you were on a fast track to nowhere. And,
absolutely, absolutely.
You were going down a road that he wasn't leading. You were following your own path. And sometimes even in the sense of just driving a car, you know, there's an accident, and in us having an accident, it keeps us, and we survive that accident, but it keeps us from death, which was on further down the road. And it's like, it's kind of like what happened in your situation, to where it was an accident that happened that took you near death, but who can only God knows what was down further down the line that may have taken your life if he hadn't put a roadblock there to say, hey, hold up, listen, I need you. The world doesn't need you. It's enough people doing all the things of the world. I need you to be a light and not just
right.
blend in, but to stand out and really break out of tradition, go against the grain. And, man, that's a powerful testimony.
Yeah. Man, it's been a journey, you know. You talk about tradition. It's funny because I grew up in a church, and a lot of the ministers and stuff, you know, like I said, except my calling at 18, and I grew up with the ministers around me being like my big brothers.
Uh-huh.
And they always called me the hard head because I'm the one that questioned everything. You know, why we got to wear black suits on first Sunday? Well, you know, why do we do this and why do we do that? And they're like, well, can you just do what everybody else do and just not ask questions? And the answer to that is absolutely not, because my mom will be the first to tell you is I was her why child, you know what I'm saying? And because I said so was never, you know, never enough for me, you know. So even in working in ministry, that was always what it was is, you know, I don't want to just do something just because that's the way it's always been done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started working with Chaos, I didn't want to be a preacher talking to other people, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to be integrated into the conversation. And I wanted people to kind of, because not only was I wasn't the keeper of all information, I was
mm-hmm.
going through struggle just like they were. So, you know, sometimes somebody else's testimony might help me, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So even though I'm teaching, you know, they may have a perspective that I never had. And we were very mindful of the steps we took with that ministry. We started off doing home-based Bible studies, you know. We went to clubhouses at people's apartments, you know, and eventually we ended up at our daycare center, because the reason we did that was because we wanted people to feel comfortable sharing without having to come into a building in which they feel confined, because oftentimes people come into a church building and they feel like they have to behave a certain way. And that's why we did what we did. And you mentioned earlier about the always food sometime, and I want to explain that, because we always have food and fellowship, but sometimes, you know, coming from work or, you know, just it'd be that time of the month where money flowing a little funny, food wouldn't show up. So that was always my covering of saying there's always food sometimes, because sometimes I just missed it. So, you know, and I said it one Sunday, a few Sundays, and that just became part of our slogan, man. And people just hung on that. You know, there's all, you know, chaos, where there's always food sometime, and that's just become part of what we are. So yeah, it's been a blessing.
And man, it's definitely been a blessing. And just even with the chaos ministry and you leading it, and like I said, that was my first introduction to you. You being up on stage and you stating that slogan. And that drew me in, and I can honestly say that going to chaos, that grew me so much in my faith and in my understanding and my knowledge of Jesus Christ and in my relationship with him. And I'm thankful to God for the heart and for the boldness that he placed in you, for you to really have faith and step out and head and lead the chaos ministry. And just in keeping with the topic of faith, just breaking out of tradition, you know, as you said, you started preaching and accepting your calling at the age of 18. That's not traditional at all. you know.
Right.
And I say that, you know, I come from a long family of preachers. You know, you come from a long family of educators, but, you know, my father is a pastor, and my brother is a pastor, my papa and my uncles, and, you know, that may be in my blood. But that's something I come from a long line of, and just in looking at it, seeing a young pastor or a young preacher at 18, that wasn't traditionally what I saw growing up.
Right.
And you to accept a calling at that age, that is so far from untraditional. And then you mentioned later on stepping into full-time ministry. Now, how was it, what was it like really stepping into full-time ministry? And how did that take a great trust in God and great faith in God, stepping away from your full-time job into a full-time job in ministry?
Like I said, man, went to school for education, wanted to be a teacher, you know, had a degree in teaching, certificates, teaching certificates in Louisiana, teaching certificates in Texas, taught in Frisco ISD, math and science in fourth grade for 6 years. I've been working in ministry, you know, with the youth since I graduated, do a summer arts camp every summer, and I have a passion for it. And what I had to do over the years is I've had to build what my ministry was going to look like, what my preaching style was going to look like. I've done some things that I've even had to check myself on. Like, I'm not, you know, God gives me a word, and I'm like, is this really from you or is this foolishness? So I have, you know, people around me to spot check me. But in this, it was a lonely feeling, man. I ain't gonna lie to you, because a lot of people were naysayers, you know.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people was like, "Why would you leave a job to go and take on a full time, you know, ministry position? You can do both. You can be bivocational." And you know, and I felt that God had, you know, it was one of those moments where it's like nobody could check me on it. You know, and nobody could confirm that this was what God was telling me to do. And it was a scary thing, because I just put my business out there. When I took the job, it was a $15,000 pay cut. And at the time, I'm newly married, you know, and, you know, I'm worrying about how I'm going to take care of my new wife, you know, and love her to death. But, you know, it was some struggles between me and my new marriage, you know, because it didn't make sense. And a lot of times as we walk, you know, in this world, we're looking for things where the pieces fall in place, where it's supposed to make sense. And a lot of times when God's asking you to do something, it doesn't make sense. You don't know how you're going to be able to maintain, you know what I'm saying? You know what money you're going to have coming in. You know what money you got going out, you know. And you went to school all these years to do this. You've invested so much time in the education, and then just get up and just walk away. It was a faith step, you know.
Yeah.
And over the last few years, I've really been in studying, you know, in two stories that I really was hit by as I studied was the story of Peter, you know, stepping out the boat.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we always talk about Peter's faith as he stepped out onto the water, you know, but we don't ever talk about what was going on in the boat. I wasn't there, but I can only imagine people saying, "Hey, Peter, I'm going to just let you know, you step out this boat, you're on your own, my brother." You know,
yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes those people that are closest to you, they mean well when they're giving you advice, but it ain't what God's will is for you. And then I was really hit by, you know, the story of Abraham and when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. You know, we always talk about the faith of Abraham as he went up the mountain, but I'm thinking about, you know, what was happening down at the foot of that mountain when Abraham was telling people, you know, "Well, God told me to sacrifice my son." Well, your God, you know, the same God that promised you and gave you this son is now telling you to give him back.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we won't ever receive our blessing if we're not obedient, you know, because Abraham could have stayed at the bottom of the mountain, you know what I'm saying? But he would have never seen the ram if he would have never gone to the top, you know what I'm saying? His blessing was where God told him to go. And And I think that that's, you know, that's also seen when Jesus was in the garden. You know, he said, Father, if it is your will, pass this cup from me. And I think that in that moment, I was really struggling and I was really hurt, but I wanted to be obedient to what God had asked me to do. And that's kind of what ended up happening where I made that transition.
And, you know, that the story of Peter is something that I've been studying for probably the last 7 or 8 months just because of his faith. And you mentioning that now, it's a blessing to me to just really get another perspective, because I never thought about it like that. The naysayers who were right there with him in the boat, but just looking from the other end of it and saying, oh, man, well, he had great faith, and not looking at how much. Give me another perspective on really how great his faith had to be, because you have those people who you've been, you know, through thick and thin with. Y'all slept together. Y'all been camping out together, been you know, sleeping out, doing all these things together, going through this together. And then for you to say, to really do follow the Holy Spirit's leading, and for them to kind of sit back and say, okay, well, go ahead. You got it. You so, and just like you said, I can only imagine them saying the same thing. You so holy, go ahead. You can walk on water. But it really took great faith. And you hit the nail on the head with just him and Abraham, and how just with you stepping into full-time ministry, you didn't see you were looking at your education and the things you had been trained to do. And in a sense, that was the tradition of that's the tradition of your family, is to teach. And so in so many ways, you had to step away from tradition because that's where God was leading you. And you saying it's just merely about sometimes it's just merely about obeying what God is leading you to do. And faith is nothing. The Bible tells us that faith is just is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And all that is just believing without seeing. And just trusting and believing without seeing, that's faith. But tradition is believing what we've always seen. And, you know, in this world today, I know you can be a testament to it, that more times than not, we're led to follow what we've always seen rather than following what we've never seen. And in tradition, just following what has always been done. And just you being able to step away from that and step into what God was calling you to do, that took great faith. And on the flip side, just in thinking about it, I'm like, okay, that's your home church. Like you said, you grew up in Mount Hebron. That's where you've been there, been serving there. And then here you get a full-time offer for a full-time ministry job, and you step in. It took great faith to step in that. So you're no longer in that position, so I can only imagine what was it like having to step, literally have faith to step out of that position?
First of all, you know, I love Mount Hebron. I love ministry. I love working with youth. And we had an amazing time. My wife and I, we served and, you know, looking and had a lot of time. We had a lot of kids graduating, go off to college this year to Steele, Texas, and hit us up. But my passion is for people, and my passion is for kids. And I think that that's one of the things that I've always liked to do, you know, help children. Because I came from, you know, I wasn't the easiest son. I wasn't the easiest student. So, and I had people that never gave up on me. So I always had a passion for that. And I miss the classroom because I feel that that is my ministry. So I prayed to God, look, God, if this is for me, then you open up a door that I can't say that I opened. You open up an opportunity that nobody can take credit for but you. So, you know, I started, I ended up at South Garland because I was promoting a program we were having at the church called the Power Team. Met with the principal, great lady, Tracy Curtis, who's the principal, my principal at South Garland, great lady. You know, she called me in December and was like, hey, I got a position open, you know, and if you're interested, you know, let me know. And I'm like, you know, no, I'm good. That was in December. And things going well, you know, and still praying, God, hey, you open up a door and I let it be your door and not my own. And around March, I had already started putting out my application. I'm like, I'm going to put it out there, and if anything bites, then, you know, we'll work from there. Put out my application in March, toward the end of March, going into star testing and all that foolishness. A principal emailed me and was like, hey, man, I got this position open, and it's an immediate position. It's not for next year. We're going to testing season. I need a certified teacher. I need somebody good. And I heard good things about you. If you're interested, you know, hit me up. So that was Wednesday. I called them, set up the interview Thursday. We interviewed Saturday. He called me and offered me the job on Sunday. And, you know, around that time in the school year, they normally don't bring in, you know, full-time teachers on contract. They'll take a long-term sub, and, you know, they'll put them in that position, you know, to just cover. But the position that I was able to gain was contract. So that means I was still going to get all my benefits. I was still going to get my paychecks during the summer, you know, so – it was something that was extraordinary that doesn't normally happen. So, you know, even then I had to step out. You know, I said, you know, we pray for things and we want things, but it's like when things happen that we ask for, we're like, well, is this really from God? So it was hard. I'm not going to lie to you, you know, going to my pastor and letting him know that, you know, I was going to be stepping down. 'Cause I didn't want people to think I was turning my back on my church.
Yeah.
Like I said, I love Mount Hebron. But one thing I've been really focusing on is a plant can't grow in the same pot all its life. You know, so sometimes we got to step outside of our comfort zone, which for me has always been Mount Hebron, you know, because there's always been that support. There's always been, you know, learning and caring. But, you know, that was another step for me to say, okay, maybe this isn't where I'm supposed to be. It may have been where God wanted me to be for this time, but maybe it's time for me to step away and really walk in what God has called me to do.
And that's amazing in itself. Like you said, the amount of faith that it took to step into something and to step into that position, serving at Mount Hebron, and then the great amount of faith that it took to still follow God's lead and stepping away. And a couple months ago, I heard a guy express it in saying that everything, you know, everything we have, everything that we possess, every gift that we have, God gave it to us. And everything that God gave us, it's his to do what he pleases with it. And how everything that God gives us, we should hold with an open palm, that so that he can give it and he can take it away freely. And but if we clench it with a closed fist, then he has to literally pry those fingers off one by one, and makes it that much harder, that much more painful for us.
Right.
Because he gave it to us, and it's his for the taking. But a lot of times God gives us things not for us to just stay there for the rest of our lives, or gives us position for us to stay there for the rest of our lives. But everything, his word tells us that everything has a season. There's a time and a season for everything.
Right, right.
And for you to step into that, pray and follow God's lead and step into it, and then to follow God's lead stepping out, that's so untraditional in itself. Because, like you said, your plan has always been to educate, to teach. You have come from a long lineage of teachers, but to the amount of faith and how you said, sometimes it's just the fact of being obedient to God and really following God's lead instead of following what you feel like you're qualified to do.
Absolutely.
And that's amazing, because it's in so many ways, God really opened my eyes a couple of weeks ago to how really stuck in tradition I am, and I didn't know it. And, you know, I'm just a transparent moment, just how stuck in tradition I still am, but I was blind to it. And in a sense, I was bound by it, And that, you know,
right.
just even with the topic of the night, faith, breaking out of tradition, because sometimes we can't just step out of tradition. We have to fight and claw our way out because we're bound by it. And we're trapped. I wouldn't even say trapped, but we're so bound and wound up in tradition that we can't hear from God. We can't see any open doors. And we surely not going to step out because tradition is constantly pulling, constantly tugging. And just to hear you testify in how you stepped out and broke away from tradition, it's encouraging to me. And I know it's encouraging to everybody listening because, I mean, there's so much in the world and even in the church that's done according to protocol.
I think what happens a lot of times is we get caught up because this is the way we've always done it. You know, it's easier that way. It's easier to just continue to reproduce.
Why rock the boat?
And that's it. Like, it's easier to just reproduce. And I put, like I said, it's not that I'm pushing against the system. I want to understand the system. You know,
yeah.
It was because I always had opportunities. My pastor always gave me an opportunity to do sermonettes every Sunday. And I'll never forget the one that I really struggled with was it was called What's on the Outside. You know, we're always looking at stuff for face value and we judge it and we grade it based off what we see on the outside. So when I did that sermonette, what I did was I took a Patron bottle, tequila, and I took the tequila bottle and I put water in it.
I took the
water bottle and it was a symbolic symbol of it was still water in it, but it was a clear liquid. And I took it and I said, you know, I was in the sanctuary and I took it and I took a swig out of it in the middle of the sanctuary. And it was funny, but I had to maintain my composure because you could have just hear the gasp. Everybody was, you know, just because this boy done brought some liquor in the church. And what I told him, I said, a lot of people, what you don't know is that the contents of this bottle is good for you. But because we're looking on the outside of the face value, you see this bottle, and this bottle for some people represents something that may not be normal or may not, but the contents, which is water, is something that we need, is good for you. I said, and sadly, this water bottle that most of you guys would accept, you know, most of you guys wouldn't have a problem with me taking a drink out of this. It looks good on the outside, but the stuff on the inside isn't good for you. And I think that sometimes when we're stuck in these rudiments of tradition and I like to call it being churchy, we play we do these things because that's how mama did it, that's how grandma did it, that's how great grandma do it. So I guess that's how I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna teach my kids to do it the same way. But the reality is, nobody's ever taught us why we do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And if we continue that model, then we're going back to the days when we were kids and we were playing church in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just mocking, you know, the people falling out. We're just mocking the pastor. I tell people all the time, I said, I preached my first sermon long before I accepted my calling. And I preached my first sermon out the Book of Jobs. they be like Job? No, Jobs. And the topic of my sermon is give all you can. And it was me making fun of what I've seen. You know, it was me mimicking what I've seen. And over the years I had to develop. I never wanted to be something that I didn't feel comfortable with in being a preacher or being a minister. So I developed my own techniques. I developed, you know, I use my humor. I use my resources that I learned as a teacher, you know. And I've always tried to teach biblical principles with real-life application. And sometimes it's accepted, sometimes it's not. But the reality is God has called us to go out into the world and make all disciples, and sometimes we can't get so caught up in traditions that we miss the focus, and that's the people. So that's where I'm at, man. You know, just really wanting to reach people no matter what it takes, long as it's in the will of God.
Mm-hmm. And, man, that's amazing, just hearing your take on it and how you shared the story about the Patron bottle and about the liquor bottle and literally bringing that into church. Now, if that's not untraditional, I don't know what is. And so
I thought I was going to get kicked out that Sunday. That was a Sunday I had already packed my bags. But I didn't know if I was going to make it. I didn't know if they were going to accept that one, you know. But, you know, I got permission, you know, before I did it. I was like, hey, got something that's looking. And it turned out well. People got the point. But, you know, like I said, I had some people looking at me sideways. But, you know,
and
sometimes breaking traditions is uncomfortable.
And that's exactly it, man. It is uncomfortable. And that's I think that's the thing that really ties us down to tradition, is the comfort level.
Right.
I mean, like you said, this way daddy did it. This way mama and him always did it. This way I was raised doing it. We did this every year at this time or whatever it may be, but the comfort of it. You know what to expect. You know what to do if something go wrong. You know what may go wrong. And you're comfortable in it. But if we're, you know, just like you said, you mentioned to me yesterday when I was talking to you how, you know, the great saying of in order to do something you never, in order to get what you never gotten, you have to do what you never done. And
right.
It's simply just stepping out on faith and stepping out of tradition and stepping out of not only what you've always done, but what other people have always done and what you've always seen, because we have enough of people who are all the same, and
right.
God is just, even in hearing your testimony right now, God is still working on me just in how I need to really come into my own and how I've been a reflection not so much of Jesus Christ but of my daddy and of my mama and of my upbringing, of my brothers. And we're not called to be images of them, of men, because at the end of the day, just because that's my daddy or that's my blood brother, I wasn't created to be an image bearer of them. I was
right.
created to bear Jesus Christ's image and to imitate his walk and his ministry. And it's easy in the world that we live in to get caught up and go the other way. And it just really encourages me knowing and having a relationship with someone like you who's going against the grain and not just going against the grain and doing stuff different just to say you different. And, it's funny because that kind of seems to be the hot thing now, that people are so busy trying to be untraditional that they're exactly the same as everybody around them.
I think that is our thing. You know, we're trying to be so different that we're making ourselves the same. And a lot of people say that I live my life against the grain, but the reality is I think the uniqueness that God gave me reaches a certain group of people, you know. I don't think I'll ever be able to reach the world, you know, if it's in God's will, maybe. But the way I preach, the way I talk, the things that I say, the message may be for only a select group of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we were all able to walk in our uniqueness and not, you know, like I said, become a mimic of what we've been taught or what we've seen, you know, it would be amazing outbursts of openness in Christianity, because, you know, people will be sharing. You know, if you're a basketball player, you know what I'm saying, your circle of influence is basketball players. If you're a dancer, your circle of influence is dancers. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, sometimes the things I go through in life, they weren't for me. You know what I'm saying? They were for me to be able to have empathy and sympathy for somebody that I have to minister to that I haven't met yet. You know?
Yeah.
I can talk about losing family members because guess what? I've lost family members. I can talk about coming from a single parent home. You know why? Because I came from a single parent home. And all these things God brought me through. But it's very difficult for me to talk about, you know, overcoming a drug addiction and somebody truly taking me seriously. You know why? Because I've never been there. But I think that sometimes we don't let our uniqueness shine in our ministry because it might be taken out of context, or somebody might not accept it, or it doesn't look a certain way, or it doesn't feel a certain way. And I don't think that's what God or Jesus expects from us.
And you know, I completely agree 100%, because the Bible tells us to serve in spirit and in truth. And
right.
The truth is God's word. You know what the Bible literally tells us to do. But the Holy Spirit also tells us that the Holy Spirit is our keeper. We are to
be guided
and led by the Spirit. And you know, so the tradition, a lot of people, and I say a lot of people, but me included, and still included in so many ways, get caught up in the truth of the matter, which is just the word. Well, what's the Bible say? Like, show me that verse. What is it in the Bible? I'm supposed to do this, or I'm not supposed to do that. But the Bible tells us, just take me to the verse where it tells us to serve in spirit and in truth. What is the Spirit leading you to do? And someone told me, I got saved a little over 4 years ago, and, you know, I was so legalistic when I first started in my Christian walk. And my wife now, Michonne, she was just a friend then. She really helped me to realize that. That's not about just keeping rules. But
right.
When I first got saved, I heard someone tell me that it's not, it's not always about what God said. You can't just listen to what God said, but you have to listen to what he's saying.
Right.
And it's not about, okay, well, this is what the Bible said, but what is the Spirit leading you to do right now in this moment? Because that's going against the grain. Because you're in a different time, in a different place than when Moses was, when Peter was, when Abraham was.
Right.
And so the Spirit, what the Spirit led them to do at that point in time, it's totally different than what it's leading you to do. It's the same in so many ways, in truth, but in spirit, it's different. And
absolutely,
it's just amazing, man. And I'm amazed just by how God is using you and how He's working in you and through you, and just how you're, like you said, you're going against the grain, but you're really not. You're doing the same thing that all of those people you stated, like Abraham and like Peter, you're doing the same thing that they did. So you're being obedient to truth because you're obeying God's leading. Peter obeyed God in stepping out on the water. Abraham obeyed the Spirit's leading in even being ready and willing to sacrifice his son. And you're obeying
right.
the Spirit in stepping into ministry, stepping out of ministry, stepping back into teaching. And so you're going against the grain, but all you're doing is what the Bible tells us to do. And for anybody who's listening out there now, that's all it is. It's not about being different or trying to stand out, because if you're really being led by the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to lead you, God is going to separate you from the masses, from the world, because what He leads you to do, what God leads me to do, is not going to be the same as what He leads you to do, Corey.
Right.
And what
right.
He leads, you know, my wife Michonne to do is not going to be the same what He leads me to do. And so we're all going to be unique, but we're all doing the same thing in being led by the Spirit. And so I just want to take this time to, for any listener out there who's listening and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, to do that now. There's no better time than right now. There's no day better day than right now. And even those who have accepted Christ, but you've stepped away and strayed from that path to really welcome God back into your heart to truly be your Savior, I ask you to just repeat this prayer with me and truly just surrender your life to Christ. And let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen. And
amen.
For everybody, anybody who just repeated their prayer and accepted Christ, congratulations. I wanted to be the first one to congratulate you. I want us to be the first ones to congratulate you and welcome you to the team. Because as the title of the show is The Recruit, because that's literally what we are. We're all recruits for Christ. God told us to go ye therefore and make disciples. All that is recruit. Draw people in to do what you're doing. Draw people in to be on the team that you own. And we're all a team. We're all a part of the same team. We're all teammates. And that verbal commitment that you just gave, just like any other process, you give a verbal commitment. You shake a hand or you tell them, yeah, I'll do it, or whatever it may be. You commit verbally. But there's an official commitment that comes and you by signing on the dotted line. And you sign on the dotted line and make it official every single day in the life that you live and walking it out and not just talking about it, but actually being about it and being about that life. Because, like I said, there's no better team to be on than on God's team. And, Corey, I just want to thank you again for being a guest on the show. And before we get out of here, I want to ask you, what's next for Corey Malcolm? What's coming up next for Corey Malcolm?
Man, I don't know. You know, just wherever God leads me, you know, I like I said, I want to help people. God put me in position right now. Check out the Sigma Gamma Steppers in South Garland High School. We're starting our season. I'm over the step team in South Garland, you know, and
working
with some youth groups here in Frisco and Little Elm area, you know, doing some mentoring. But, man, just making myself available for ministry inside and outside the church.
And that's what's up, man. Like you said, available inside and outside. And not just being traditional and only serving, feeling like you can serve inside those four walls of the church. But the ministry takes place outside those four walls. That's when you draw people in. And I just want to commend you and encourage you. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep being obedient to the Spirit. Keep serving the Spirit and in truth. And for anybody who wants to get in touch with you, hit you up, has questions for you, how could they get in touch with you?
Hey, they can hit me up at C Malcolm, C M A L C O L M 03 on my Twitter. Sounds a little conceited, but this is what I'm about. My Instagram is Mr. Change the World. And then on my Facebook, is Corey, C O R Y D, period. You look for Corey Malcolm on Facebook, you will not find him for educational reasons only. So, yeah, hit me up, Mr. Change the World. C Malcolm 03 or Corey D on Facebook. So that's where it's at.
C Malcolm 03 or Corey 3 on Twitter, Facebook, Corey D, Mr. Change the World on Twitter, on Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
Yep, and I just messed it up a little bit, but y'all got it, man. But yeah, man, and like I said, I just want to thank you for being on the show. And
I appreciate you inviting me, man.
Man, and you really started the season off right. Because even with and I tell everybody, you know, all of my listeners that this is not my show. It's not my show. This is our show. I'm just a voice that you hear that kind of leads and asks the questions, but this is our show. Because we're all recruiters for Christ. We're all teammates. And it's God's show at the end of the day. And so I got to hold it with an open palm. And, you know, for all the listeners out there, if you want to get in touch with me or if you have any questions or suggestions for the recruit, something you want to hear, somebody you want to hear, something you want answered, or just want somebody to pray with you, hit me up. You can follow your boy at Soul, S-O-U-L underscore fisherman. That's on Twitter and on Instagram, at soul_fisherman. And you can find me on Facebook, Adrian Reese. Just search Adrian Reese, A-D-R-I-A-N. And you can shoot me an email, adrian@adrianreese.com. Check out the blog, do whatever you do, hit me up, ask questions, and just participate, join the conversation, because it's our show, because God gave it to us. He just led me to lead us to it. And so I just want to thank you again, Corey, for being on the show, man. And is there anything, final word you want to lead the listeners with? Any word of encouragement or piece of advice that you want to drop in our ears? This is your time. Go ahead.
Just be real. A lot of people think that going against tradition or, you know, breaking those traditions is easy. But I don't think it's easy. I think it's one of the most difficult things you can do. I think it's one of the most difficult things that you will do. Because being different is hard, and I think that it comes with a lot of fear. But, you know, even as you look at Jesus preparing to go to the Christ or go to the cross, you know, he was afraid. He cried, you know, he sweated, he begged to his Father. Like, he didn't go without fear. And I think that sometimes, in spite of the uncertainties and the things that might not necessarily make sense, you just be obedient, you walk in your calling. And I think that that's, you know, that's what we have to do, because the time is coming where, you know, the wheat will be separated and all other things will be burned. So I think that's just where we are, man. We just got to walk it out. And like I said, you said be a recruit, because the time is coming when Jesus is coming to pick his team. So,
and
man,
that's
where we are.
It. And y'all heard it from the man's mouth himself. Just walk it out. Just be real. At the end of the day, just be real, be you. And again, thank you, Corey, and for everybody listening. You've been tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese, broadcasting on Soul Radio, brought to you by my man, PDP Richard and Big Ups. And be sure to tune in same time, but we will be going biweekly now with our radio broadcast, so every other week. So our next show will be on September 17th at the same time at 8 p.m., 2 weeks from today. So tune in, same time, 2 weeks from today. And until then, be blessed and be real.